Okay, now we can start.
Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
If you build it, they will come. Joel, seen that movie? He's in the movie, Joe.
Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
In our 670 The Score studios, Jordan Malley.
Shout out to Jordan Malley.
Did Matt Peck get a signed copy of that book?
No, Matt Peck, he didn't. No. I'll talk to D. Rose.
Yeah, you got to make it happen.
And Matt, you will be getting your book soon.
Kick back and get ready for the best hour of your day.
Are players buying in, Jim?
Yes.
Fair enough.
And so all I was saying on this podcast, the Locked On Bulls podcast.
Locked On Bulls, 5 days a week.
Locked On Bulls starts now.
You can just see the vibe.
Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Jordan Malley. Along with me is Matt Peck. Follow us on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Hit us up on our text and voicemail line, 331-979-1369. Drop your text, your voicemails, anything you got for us, 331-979-1369. Happy Friday to you, Matt. I know we've got, we had an exciting week, I should say, and kind of excited to head into the weekend talking a little bit about the GM search that's ongoing at this point, and also maybe some potential replacements for Jim Boylan if they decide to go a different way. But first and foremost, how you doing?
Doing all right. What's up, Jordan? What's up, Bulls Nation? Looking forward to another weekend when we're in a time when all the days blend together, and I honestly can't tell the difference between a Monday and a Friday. But it just means that we're one day closer to the dock, man. I'm really looking forward to it. Obviously, we're also kind of waiting around for more news to drop regarding AK and the formation of this new front office structure. Still no word on officially GM interviews, other than that certain teams have granted certain people, have granted the Bulls permission to talk with certain people. I know the fan base is just eagerly anticipating what comes next.
Yeah, that's for sure. And I know we've heard some names being floated out there, even as soon as when Karnisovas was named to as head of basketball operations. At the start of this week, we heard from him and Michael Reinsdorf, and it wasn't so much the people that they were interested in, more so it was about the process that they planned to go through to hire the right person, and also the qualities, too, that they were looking for. And I would imagine that the qualities that they were looking for in Karnisovas to take over the basketball operations will be similar to the style, I guess, and the reputation that follows with the GM hire. And one of the most interesting things, Matt, that I caught from Karnisovas talking over the last couple of days was the GM that he brings in, he wants to have a separate skill set than himself. So he wants maybe somebody to be the yang to his ying. So I'm very curious about some of the names that they're talking about bringing in, and also how those guys will mesh. But most importantly, let's start with the list of names. Who's the one that you feel like right now, maybe not your favorite candidate, but most favorable for this GM job?
Honestly, most favorable, I would say I'd probably lean towards Eversley of Philly. I know that certain people aren't thrilled with and overwhelmed by what the Sixers have done with this, you know, hashtag trust the process rebuild, and everybody's talking and panicking about Simmons and Embiid aren't good enough together. They don't work together. You got to trade one of them. But there's still some quality things that they've done over there. And even more importantly, or just as importantly, in my opinion, it's what he did in addition to that on his resume, working with Nike for 10 years. Because I know the Bulls kind of opened up the idea to do the whole bringing in a player agent to be the GM thing that some teams have started to do. Of course, you know, Leon Rose with the Knicks being the most recent example, and that the Bulls and the Reinsdorf specifically were hesitant to do that. And even bringing in that dude, Justin Zanuck, to interview from Utah, despite having his current front office experience, he started as, you know, working as a player agent, that was even them opening up to that idea a little bit. I still think that there is something to gain from having someone in your front office whose experience is not just running teams, but having a part of their career experience being more relatable and more helpful career-wise to players, especially big-name players.
It's a very, very good point. Eversley, I think, is interesting too. And Matt, and I pulled a quote from Eversley too that was talking a little bit, and this was in August of 2019, right on the heels of the new season, was talking about the playoff experience the Sixers had and ultimately what he thinks molds a team that's going to have success. And it follows on the comments of asking him what he felt seconds after Kawhi hit that buzzer beater where it bounced like three times off the top of the rim and went in. He said, there's no blueprint for this Magic. There's no magic here. It's about fit, feel, and character of players. Dudes who want to play hard, who you don't have to manage every single day. We want to put 15 guys on the board that Brett Brown wants to coach. So inserts any coach there. And the idea that drafting guys and developing a roster comes down to those three things, fit, feel, and character. Man, that and then to follow that, play hard and don't have to manage every single day. I mean, that sounds like a pretty damn similar blueprint to what the Bulls motto is in terms of guys that they like and how they kind of want to build and construct their roster. So that one kind of makes sense to me.
It does. And I think, like you said, it's important that, you know, that is someone who can do things and provide things that AK himself cannot. Obviously you want them philosophically to be on the same page as far as how they want their organization to operate, but you want them doing different jobs and you want them to be excelling in different areas of what it takes to run a successful basketball organization. And I like a lot of what you just said from Eversley, and I think a lot of it makes sense to me. And again, it's like part of making this hire and making sure you got the right hire, because I do believe with AK, they got a right hire. They got a very good hire. With the GM, you want him to be able to not just be a guy who handles the day-to-day more, a guy who can do, you know, scouting, contract stuff, all the things it takes to do that job, and ideally appoint people beneath you to do those jobs more specifically and on the regular. But you got to have somebody that's going to bring a little bit of something else to your organization. Like, and I know like not to keep harping on it, but this Bulls team right now is about developing the talent that they have on the roster and evaluating that talent as well. But it's homegrown talent right now. Kobe White, Wendell, Lowry. What do we have? I would even throw Daniel Gafford into that list of names. Because we believe that AK is going to excel at that. And that even bringing over his guy Connolly from Denver is going to excel at that element of it. But that's just step one. Because I think you and I agree, and I think most Bulls fans would agree, that the superstar, not on this roster. Even a all-star, perennial all-star kind of ceiling guy right now, I'm sorry to say, not on this roster. So step one is developing your homegrown talent to be more enticing. And step two is, how do we finally get the big names in the building? And once we have them in the building, how do we finally get them to say yes? The thing that, other than an aging Ben Wallace, the Bulls failed to do in the entirety of the John Paxson regime. And hopefully, whoever they point to as a GM helps with that. Because you're not winning. You're not winning anything meaningful. You're not going deep in the playoffs unless you have a superstar. And having a GM that is liked by players around the league would go a long way in that regard.
It's a really, really good point. And Eversley, and also one of the other candidates that was listed by Woj and a bunch of other people that have been reporting this, is Mark Hughes. Both of those guys have backgrounds in working in player personnel. Eversley right now is the VP of the Sixers player personnel. So it makes sense. Guys that know how to interact with players on a day-to-day basis, know how to be the face too of your organization when you're speaking. That's going to be a quality, I think, that Karnisovas should look for, and probably understands that already. If he hasn't, that wasn't one of the very first things. Is, yeah, we got to change the image of how we're presented ourselves to the media, but also how the media represents us and how fans look at us as well. And I think we've said it for a long time. Somebody that's going to come in here and not be willing or be willing to come out and go on radio shows, go on podcasts, talk in front of the media very regularly, be very open about their plan and their process, and be very, very transparent when things don't go right. And you'll turn around and the Bulls fans will give you credit when things do go right. So I think somebody that's going to come and be the face that's going to be somewhat truthful to Bulls and not sugarcoat it and repeat the same lines over and over again is a huge deal to Bulls fans, and hopefully it's a huge deal to Karnisovas too. It makes sense too why Matt Lloyd's name, the guy from the Orlando Magic, is also thrown in there too, because he was a media coordinator and a scout. So again, somebody who's been interacting with media members, players on a day-to-day basis. And Matt Lloyd also, I guess, was a former Bulls employee at one point too. So there's your little Chicago connection, I guess.
That's why I would rather he be ruled out.
It's a good point, because any little connection you have to the organization just raises an eyebrow. And that's just from years and years of this constantly being the same talk. Even if it is a distant connection to the team, it's still, Bulls fans are going to be like, really? So,
right.
Hughes.
Well, and then that's the other, go ahead.
I was going to say Hughes and Eversley make a lot of sense, because Karnisovas said that he plans to hire a person of color to be the franchise's general manager. We heard him say that on Monday when they did these press conferences and they did these teleconferences. He did say that, so it would make sense why Eversley or Hughes or even Michael Finley would be a guy that would be at the top of the list to be the GM.
Yeah, that's the other name I was just going to bring up, because as far as all these names, you know, since Woj tweeted that trio of names, Eversley, Hughes, and Lloyd a couple days ago, we haven't heard much on this. The one tidbit of news we have heard is from Mavs owner Mark Cuban, who currently employs Michael Finley, and said, yeah, I think there was maybe an email in there somewhere. I don't know. I'm like way behind on my inbox. But yeah, if the Bulls want to talk to Finley, I'll absolutely let him talk to Finley. Talk to you, meaning interview. So it sounds like they're, you know, it took a while to actually get confirmation that there is mutual interest there, as opposed to Finley was just a name that was brought up when, you know, that Mark Spears column when talking about the lack of a Rooney Rule and the lack of black executives in the league. And like, why didn't they interview Michael Finley, who is a Chicago guy who would probably love the opportunity to interview for that job? That's when we first heard Finley's name. And then it was like, well, are the Bulls interested? And it sounds like over the last few days, a few different sources have said, yeah, the Bulls are interested. The Bulls did reach out to Finley, and we're waiting on a response. And it sounds like Cuban, because remember, like one of the other earlier things we heard was Mark Cuban saying, like, I think Finley would be a great candidate for that job. Like, he would be great for it. Why haven't the Bulls asked him? So I don't know. I think that's not a Bulls connection. It's just the guy who's got ties to the city of Chicago. The one concern I have, as much as I loved Michael Finley the player, and I loved Michael Finley the player, and by all accounts he is very well liked in this league now as a retired player and a guy who works for an organization, lack of experience. Just plain and simple, dude has not been a GM before. That gives me pause. I don't know about you.
It's a good point. The only thing that I think I would say that gives me a little bit of sense of relief, if that is our strongest negative against Michael Finley, is the fact that there's going to be multiple guys running in this circle, essentially. You know, so there's going to be plenty of resources he's going to have to maybe lean on. You think about all these other guys that have been in front offices before in different positions, and the team that Arturis is trying to build here, I think that would give me a little bit of levity, considering we're so used to the Bulls front office and just management in general being so small and being one of the smallest in the NBA for how many years. The idea that they're going to expand this thing and give him multiple resources, I guess, eases my concern about somebody being a first-time GM coming in here and getting the job. The Chicago connection, I have no concern about that at all. That it would be amazing, and I think people would really get behind somebody like that. He was born in Melrose Park. He's only 47 years old, former player. He's an NBA champion. two-time All-Star. He's in the Rookie of the Year team. He was named 100 Legends of IHSA Boys Basketball Tournament here in 2007, so in the state of Illinois. So that's there's so many things rooted here that people would want to root for Michael Finley. So I don't know. I don't know if he's got the does he have the personality to be a GM. I think players would definitely listen to him, and if they didn't, they'd be stupid for a guy that's been in the league as long as he has and has the kind of record and acumen that he does. So it would be, I guess there would be a little bit of concern from me, but I wouldn't mind giving it a shot.
Yeah, I think you make a good point in that there's sort of a support system in place. And obviously it will continue to grow as AK makes more hires and he's already brought two people in, that even if there is a little bit of a learning curve, or, you know, Finley would be, or, you know, just because we're talking about Finley because his name has been brought up recently, or any former player / on the rise executive who has not held that title of GM before, doesn't have that experience. Any person might have the trepidation of how to go about doing this job. I think the thing that benefits Finley or any other similar candidate is how extensively AK is going to rebuild this front office. Because for so many years, Bulls fans wondered, how the hell is it that your front office is this small? Like, who's doing these jobs that other teams have people in place to do? The scouting department, the analytics department, you know, talking about contracts and cap strategy and all these things. And it's like the Bulls have always just told us we have a very small front office, but we very much trust our small front office. And everyone's like, dude, no. Michael Reinsdorf finally realized he had to get with the times and opened the wallet to AK and said, hire who you need. So I think that if they wanted to go with a splash name like Finley to maybe raise some excitement around that hire, he would have plenty of people to say, okay, like AK obviously would be like, I'm here to help you. I have GM experience. I can teach you the ropes. And here are all of these people at your disposal whose jobs it is to make your job easier. You just, you know, keep an eye on this, keep an eye on that. And mostly be a front-facing person for the organization, which we talked about AK maybe not wanting to be that front-facing of a guy. Whereas I think that could come naturally to Michael Finley.
Well, we joked about it too, like the size of the Bulls analytics department had been made known of. I think we even did an episode talking about an article that was written where it's like, yeah, the Bulls analytics department was like the size of a closet basically, and it was filled with a couple computer monitors and that was about it. Laughed to myself thinking like Michael Reinsdorf walking past the analytics room and being like, what's wrong with this? It looks pretty good. This is a good space to get things done. Everybody else just saying no, what the hell is going on?
I don't want to get anybody in trouble, so let me just say this. There was a running joke at NBC this season where a certain individual's office door had a sign put on it that said Bulls Analytics Department. That's all I'm going to say.
Oh, my God. I can only imagine. I will say now, though, that coming in, the resources that the Bulls have had, that addition that they added to the United Center for all the front office staff of the Bulls and the Blackhawks, man, that it is sweet. It is state-of-the-art, and they put a ton of money and invested a ton of stuff into it. So, I mean, talk about having the keys here to be very, very successful. I think the Bulls have set themselves up with that. They just haven't made that full change, and now we're starting to see that, so it's nice to see. Matt, let's listen to John Hollinger, who does the Hollinger and Duncan podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network, talk on 670 The Score late last week about Kardasovas's hiring process and also about potential names that could surface for coach and for GM. So let's hear from him right now.
It's interesting. I mean, I would, Karnaschovas needs to be the face of the franchise and be the one who's kind of that forward facing person. It would be odd to delegate that responsibility to someone beneath him. I do think, you know, one of the things that stands out about the Bulls search, obviously, is that didn't interview any African-Americans among the seven people that they interviewed for the job. I do think they need to get a broader spectrum of people in that front office. I wonder if he's going to bring his assistant GM Calvin Booth from Denver over with him. That would be one. That would be one name to certainly watch there. But I think too, it depends on what he feels is missing from his own skill set, right? So I think you know, in his case, he's got to make sure he has somebody there who knows the cap. Steve Weinman, who's the assistant GM there, I think from everything I've heard and read, is probably going to stick around and is probably the guy who's kind of in that role. And then he needs guys who can be his eyes and go out and see players. And you know, that could be where somebody like Calvin comes in.
That's another thing I wanted to address really quick, Matt, because we didn't follow up on it on Monday or Tuesday when we listened back to Carter Chavez and Michael Reinsdorf talk, and that was about the lack of diversity. Supposed that the story was that there was lack of diversity in their hiring process in the way that they went about conducting interviews. And I'll play that really quick for you. It was the question and then the response from Michael Reinsdorf, who kind of wanted to address it, and I think it was a good idea that we do the same.
Michael, I know diversity in the search was sort of a point of contention and kind of criticism for you all throughout this process. I'm wondering just what was your reaction to kind of that criticism at first? And then I guess what things do you guys think you maybe can learn or going forward maybe want to change about that process? Just for diversity, respect to diversity.
You know, when I started this search, there was really never any intention to upset anyone. That's not how I am. It's certainly not how my dad is. You know, it did hurt me to hear that people were upset with how we conducted our search, but I also understand there's always room for improvement, and we truly recognize that. As an organization, we truly value diversity across the board. And for me, diversity in thought and background and perspective, diversity is not only the right thing to do, it's really the smart thing to do. And I don't know how you can have an organization that prides itself on diversity of thought and not be diverse. So during the kind of the research phase of the hiring process, we had identified multiple diverse candidates for our shortlist. I don't want to discuss who these people were, but we were ultimately denied permission to interview them for our new head of basketball operations. At this point, we decided not to interview others just for the sake of interviewing them. I felt it would be just totally disingenuous and not truly fair to that person. I know Atura shares our value of diversity, and I know he's going to continue to identify amazing candidates with diverse backgrounds and perspectives as he builds up his team, not just from a general manager standpoint, but also throughout the organization. And so I hope that answers your question, but diversity is incredibly important to us.
I think it's a really good point to bring up and hear it straight from Reinsdorf himself, because a lot of the reports late last week, and that's originally what you heard from John Olinger, was back on Friday of last week, talk about being discouraged about how the Bulls seemingly didn't interview anybody of color. And Michael Reinsdorf kind of wanted to say, well, we reached out to a bunch of people. We ended up getting denied by a lot of the teams. So the original report on that wasn't completely accurate. And so it was nice to at least hear that, and then the reassurance from Karnisovas about the priority of hiring somebody of color for the job. And obviously they're going to look for the person who's best fit as well.
Yeah. I mean, I think I do feel a little bad that Michael had to go out there and make this damage control, you know, spin statement about, you know, please, please believe me. We're not a racist organization. We want to be known as an organization that is, you know, aggressively diverse and open and inclusive. And it's not just the proper thing to do, but it's the smart thing to do to, you know, get as wide reaching of not just ideas, but culture within your organization. You know, some of it, you know, you kind of like roll your eyes and you think of like the Diversity Day episode of The Office, and you're like, okay, this is, you know, corporate mumbo jumbo,
right?
But in a very real way, it does matter. And I think that the thing that was frustrating to see, and again, you know, you and me are both white, so we come from this from a completely ignorant side of things. You know, hashtag woke if you can be, as much as you can be. But obviously, this is not as sensitive of a subject to us as it is for Bulls fans who are minorities. And guess what? You know, the league is 75% black and Chicago is a very diverse city. So the thing that rubbed people the wrong way and rubbed me the wrong way is not the, well, we didn't drop these names of, you know, African-American candidates for our front office position, but it was the names that they did drop that were white, that had very recent scandals of some kind.
Absolutely.
You know, you had Colangelo with the burner scandal, and even worse, you had Danny Ferry and Wes Wilcox, two people who were NBA executives who got in trouble for saying some really racially insensitive things. And so that's the issue. And especially with Ferry and the comments being directed to or about Luol Deng, who's like one of the most beloved members of your organization. You had like a happy retirement night for Luol Deng earlier this season. And one of the guys you bring in, or at least that you leak to the media that you have interviewed for a front office position, is the guy who said that horrible shit about Luol Deng? Really? That's the optic part that looks bad. And again, to me, it's creating a line to say, guess what? The Reinsdorfs aren't racist. Far from it. And I believe that they are not racist. They're just incompetent.
It's exactly what you said last week, too, and I think it's
better than being a racist, but it is still bad, and the optics of that were so bad, and the fact that they wouldn't realize that leaking those names of, hey, these are some of the other names that we've interviewed, when none of the candidates and none of the names that you've dropped yet were any people who were minorities, that looked terrible, and the fact that they didn't know that that would look terrible and cause them to have this spin from Michael, like, that's on you. That is 100% on you.
Yeah, the fact that they didn't come out and squash that story right away, too, because Reinsdorf in this teleconference even mentions, like, some of the names that were leaked out there were just people they were getting a better understanding for the people that they were interviewing for positions, a better understanding of, not necessarily interviewing for them for actual spots or positions with the Chicago Bulls. So if that's the case, and you weren't truly interviewing Colangelo or Ferry or Wilcox for any position of power in this organization, then you should have come out and squashed that right away and just said, look, this is what we're doing. And I think some people did over the coming days, but right, I feel partially bad for him, but not 100%, because you still talked with people that I want no association with the Bulls and have said terrible things. So I that's exactly the way you summed it up is perfect. And I think just like letting people know and hearing Michael Reinsdorf say it from him is better than us reiterating it. So yeah, I just kind of want to bring that, but let's circle back to originally John Hollinger, what he was talking about. He brings up a great point that Arturis hit on even at the beginning of the week, Matt, when he was in that teleconference and saying that he wants somebody of different skill set than me. And that's coming from the mouth of a former exec of the Grizzlies. A few days before, AK actually said the same thing himself. So it's kind of nice to see two guys that were one point was in a similar role, and Arturis getting the first opportunity to be in this role, have similar mindsets.
Yeah, I think that's important. 100%. I think obviously there's going to be a little bit of a transitionary rocky period here for everybody involved. I think that's why you're seeing AK be very aggressive right out of the gate with finding people to fill out this front office that he's going to completely overhaul, and not just overhaul, but as he put it, you know, fill in the blind spots of this very small, minimal front office that he's coming into and inheriting, because picking proper people for these jobs, and you know, we've already said that he's picked two of them. He's bringing Pat Connolly over, who's known for his acumen with talent evaluation and player development, and he's bringing over JJ Polk from the Pelicans, who is one of the most highly respected cap strategists and cap experts in the NBA. So picking people who have these specific skill sets and these specific strengths and filling things out, the quicker you can make those smart and aggressive hires to get everybody in place, the more likely it is that you will minimize the rockiness of this transitionary period. And especially considering the climate we're in, which is the entire league is on pause right now. The entire sports world is on pause right now. But, and like the other thing is, we still might only have these couple of dominoes because we're waiting for an official word from the league. Is the season coming back? Is the season over? And if and when we get that the season's over notice from the league, then you might see the dominoes really start to fall with AK making more hires and making more moves. Because right now, there are a lot of employees of these NBA teams in limbo. And some of them are maybe still trying to figure out what are we trying to do to keep our team in best shape possible to make a playoff run. If and when the league comes back, what about this? What about that? What is this executive's contract? What is this coach's contract? There's a weird unknown that we're existing in right now. But I think even using this time as best they can to make some of those hires, when the Bulls finally get back to some semblance of normalcy, okay, offseason, free agency, even before free agency, draft scouting, and then training camp, and then the 2021 season, it's going to be a lot smoother having used this time wisely.
I agree with you 100%. And the text that we're getting in the tweets about, like, I saw a couple that said, like, is Tanaka still around? Have they cleared and wiped the training and athletic trainer? And why haven't they started wiping the coaching staff? And, you know, thinking about some of the moves on the roster, well, anything that has to involve with the actual basketball team, I don't think that they necessarily can make or don't want to make those moves necessarily until the season is over. Exactly what you were saying. Those day-to-day front office part of the basketball, but not exactly what's going on the floor, can happen whenever. I mean, we see it happen all the time. It could happen in the middle of the season. It could happen at the end of the season. It could happen in the offseason. Whereas moves like this, especially roster moves and internal things happen, don't go on unless the season's going on. So I think you're 100% right. Decisions about the coach, decision about players, decision about the staff, and even like trainers and things that people have been asking questions about probably won't come until we see, hey, the season's canceled, or hey, here's the definitive start date for when we're going to pick things back up. That's really when you're going to see things happen. But like you said, take advantage of anything you can right now. Take advantage of being able to evaluate the roster and the coaching staff that you have right now. So when you go and you get to that point, you can start making decisions pretty quickly and have some turnover. And then final thought on that, Matt, too, is people that they may want to interview for these other positions outside of the actual front office may not be allowed to interview until the offseason, until the season is officially has a date of, hey, we're canceling the season, or hey, here's the start date when we can pick things back up. And the season, if 19-20 is officially over, that's when the Bulls can start to talk to people that are already affiliated with other organizations.
Right, which is why that they're having to request permission from teams to talk to some of these people.
Right.
And that did, unfortunately, eliminate some candidates right out of the gate for the big job, the VP job, the one that they eventually gave to Arturis Karnišovas, like Bobby Webster in Toronto, and like Adam Simon down in Miami, was them being like, the teams are like, no, we're keeping these guys. And to a lesser degree, I think that that's what's going to eliminate Calvin Booth as a potential GM hire, who had been the assistant GM to AK in Denver, because the Nuggets are going to keep him. But even still, like, yeah, that did eliminate some candidates, and we'll have to perhaps wait out on maybe looking for not only the GM, but other front office positions. And like you were saying, you touched on a moment ago, how about getting some new team medical staff in here and maybe trying to poach by opening up your wallets some of the best medical staff people in the league who have the best reputations in the league. Hey, come work for the amazing Bulls who have a new front office, rich history, great city. Like, the pitch is easy. Now that AK is in charge, the pitch should not be that difficult. It's just a matter of getting the opportunity to get these people in the building. And some of that, as you said, is not really plausible to do right now, knowing that these people are still under contract with their current teams. And if they don't want to let these people get interviewed to be poached away, they don't have to.
It's Very, very true. Very, very true. Need to start getting people in this building.
In this building here in the Advocate Center.
Yes, and start using that Advocate Center to its fullest capacity.
I don't know why. I think it's like instilled in my brain. We got to stop saying the phrase in the building, man. Now the car's gone. We got to stop. We have got
They've been
stop.
In this building. In this building.
I think that's going to about do it here on Locked On Bulls.
PTSD, man.
It's not going away anytime soon either.
Or I guess, would it be called PGST or PGTD? Post-GAR stress disorder?
I think you're onto something there, and I think a lot of Bulls fans could say the same thing. Man, let's real quick before we get out of here for the weekend, let's set an over-under for the first interview GAR does post being a part of this Bulls regime for 22 years. How long do you think it takes for him to do kind of a profile with somebody?
Like how long until he gets an interview with a different team?
That too. But I figure there would be some type of, after 22 years of working with the Bulls, I feel like it's some publication, whether it's a podcast or just a question and answer or an email.
You mean like how long until somebody does like a GAR Forman expose?
Right, exactly.
I think it'll be a while. I think GAR's going to go hide for a while.
I think allow the success of this Bulls team to come to fruition. Maybe it takes 6 months, 8 months. People kind of forget about GAR. I think I'm with you. I think it's going to take maybe 6 months, maybe even longer than that. And hey, if he goes to a different team, then maybe it's quicker than that. Or maybe he doesn't say anything at all. So
I mean, he still is very much valued and respected as a scout, a talent evaluator. I know Bulls fans love to crack jokes about whether it's, you know, McDermott or the campaign trade or, you know, any of the other missteps like Mark
Paul Zipser, who we're high on.
He's had misses, obviously. He's also had some hits. He's had some very good hits. And I think that's why you'll see him get a chance to be a scout in this league again. I think his days as an executive, a high-ranking C-suite executive, are over because of the blemishes attached to his name when it comes to the things he's done, the things he's been accused of as far as, you know, the trust issues. But if he's just tasked to go scout somewhere, I think a team could look past the trust issue stuff and the blemishes of his tenure as a GM and still find an appreciation for his scouting acumen.
Wonder if he, not that I really care all that much, but I wonder if he gives a call over to the athletic department at Iowa State to see if there's any jobs he can fill there. It seems like that would make a lot of sense for him too, and it seems like for the most part, people there seem to love him too, along with the Bulls organization. So I think you're right too. I think.
Which speaking of Jordan, I just saw somebody. I know we did a bunch of mailbag yesterday, but this morning somebody texted in telling us that they thought we should have a little bit more tact when talking about the Bulls canning GAR. Well, here we are talking about GAR's job prospects. Does that make you happy? Also, they were like, you know, in these times especially, we mentioned, you know, like, yeah, obviously these are tough times for everybody, but you and I had a little sympathy for GAR getting canned. You know what? If you're worried about GAR and like whether or not he's going to starve to death or his family will starve to death, I would say you could put that ease out of your mind. That's all I was trying to say when we were talking about GAR and him getting canned and him getting canned during this crazy, you know, pandemic that has crushed the economy and put so many people out of work. GAR is the last person that I would worry about because, you know what? Dude made plenty of money.
Pandemic.
Started working with the Bulls in 1998. 22 years of Bulls paychecks. I think he's fine.
Pandemic or not, this was coming. I think we all can pretty clearly see that now.
Yes.
So, yeah.
And I'm sorry. Since when did Bulls fans feel like we needed to have tact with talking about GAR Forman? What? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills. All of a sudden, we finally have this huge overhaul in the front office. And I've seen, it's not just this one texture. I've seen so many Bulls fans be like, now, let's be nice to John and GAR. It's like, what? Who are you people? What have we been saying?
It's you're never going to please everybody, right? That's the motto here is you're never going to please everybody. But yeah, there you go. We talked a little bit about the next steps forward for Gar Forman. And the people that I feel bad for, the people that are working in hospitals, the first responders, the people that don't have health insurance right now, or, you know, can't afford to pay their bills. Those are the people that I feel genuinely bad for. The people that are struggling day in and day out because of this. Not somebody who's made multi-million dollars and his family will be fine. And of course, I hope they stay safe too. And it's nothing personal either from you or I. So those are the people that I feel bad for, not 22-year veterans of the NBA that have made millions of dollars. So hope all is well with Gar.
Like,
and
feeling bad for Gar right now is like feeling bad for the cruise ship industry more than you feel bad for, like, you know, the single mom who can't pay rent this month. Like, come on.
Right. But I think that's going to about do it here on Locked On Bulls. You can hit us up on our text and voicemail line, 331-979-1369. Drop your text, your voicemails, anything you got for us, 331-979-1369. Thank you to everybody who's been listening to the show. We're about to double our downloads from last month, which is an amazing feat in itself. And it just truly tells us that people are still interested, still engaged in what's going on. And we hopefully were providing you with a little bit of an escape if you're running yourself crazy at home, whether you got kids or you're still working a full-time job, whatever the case may be. Hopefully we're providing a little bit of entertainment for anybody that's listening out there. And a shout out to all of our new listeners too. If you just picked up the podcast this week or in the last couple of weeks, or maybe you've been a loyal listener since day one, since we've been here at Locked On Bulls, we appreciate every single one of you guys. And without you guys, Matt and I can't continue to do this. So thank you again. If you like what you're hearing from us at Locked On Bulls, go give us a review. iTunes, Spotify, anywhere you get your podcasts. If you can leave us a review there, 5-star review, that would greatly, greatly help us out. And we would appreciate it a ton. So spend that 30 seconds to give us a review. And we promise we do not take it for granted. For Matt Peck, I'm Jordan Malley. Bulls Nation, have a wonderful weekend. And we'll see you guys next week. For Jordan and Matt, we are out. Deuces.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com